Small, searching out street names that sounded like poetry.
Rue du Roi de Sicile,
Street of the King of Sicily.
Rue des Blancs Manteaux,
Street of the White Coats.
Rue de l'Arbre Sec,
Street of the Dry Tree. I loved that the most famous avenue in France, the Champs-Élysées, was named after the Elysian Fields, the ancient hero's paradise of Greek mythology. I loved all the small theaters dotting the city, their performances as accessible and essential to Parisians as daily bread. The opera, the theater, the ballet, they were all so easy to get to and so inexpensive. You could go out every night of the season and there would still be new things to see. My feet have never been so cold as that year. Nor have I ever craved coffee and sugar as I did under post-war rationing. 5 years after the liberation, the city was still struggling to recover from the dark days. Neglected buildings crumbling and coated with grime. Graceful facades pockmarked with bullet holes. Central heating and hot water were rarer than an Akilteki stallion. Threadbare clothes hung off spare frames. Everyone was still so thin. And women clattered about in wood-soled clogs left over from the occupation when shoe leather had disappeared. Memories of the war lurked everywhere, as I discovered, but no one would admit it. Even as the mood grew steadily more hopeful, the Marshall Plan fulfilling its promise, fine food in the shops again and tourists flooding back to the hotels on the right bank and left, the ghosts drifted among us. I tried to ignore them. I wished they would disappear. Sometimes I could lose myself in a gallery at the Louvre, or the wild jazz of an airless basement nightclub in Saint-Germain-des-Prés. But then, a flinch at an unexpected knock on the door. The recoil at the sight of a single boiled potato on a plate. The sobs, quickly stifled, that woke me in the night. Eventually, I came to understand that accepting the ghosts was part of loving France, too. But this is not a ghost story. Or if it is, I am also among the ghosts. Me, the reserved girl who arrived in post-war France with an uncertain grasp of the subjunctive tense and a blush for every opinion I expressed. I hadn't known what to expect from a year abroad in Paris. But some of what I'd hoped for came true. Freedom from mummy's critical eye and daddy's adoring one. The unending wonder of travel in Europe. Even a love affair. One morning I woke from a dream. A dinner party in the carved, wood-paneled dining room of a grand chateau. I was bantering with the heavy-browed Frenchman seated beside me. My voice no longer soft and sing-songy, but nimble and sure. I was holding my own in French. As I lay there, blinking myself awake in the lustrous chill of a winter dawn, I realized it wasn't a dream, but a memory of the night before. I had shed the role of the coy debutante who so often pretended to be empty-headed, and become a young woman unashamed of my hunger for knowledge. I loved it the most of any year of my life. Part 1. L'automne. Chapter 1. In all my excitement, I had scarcely managed to choke down a hardtack biscuit at dinner. It was September 1949. And I was hanging over the ship's rail with a couple of other Smith girls, hoping to spot the port. After several hours in our lookout spot, we were famished, out of cigarettes, and almost out of patience. Are those lights?
Where?
Over there on the horizon.
I think we're still too far.
Gosh, this is taking ages.
Can't be much longer now.
Evening, girls.
Said a voice behind us, and we turned to find the chief purser regarding us with a twinkle in his dark eyes.
Standing watch?